Hey, I got that. So we will call to order the November 10th, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting in accordance with Public Act 101-0640. This meeting is being held remotely. I don't see anyone appearing remotely. So I don't know if there's any citizen comments in Zoom land. There's no one there, right?
Nope, we got nobody.
We have no one here in the City Hall. Present for the meeting is Chief Jensen, Alderman Soling, Alderman Merrick, myself, and our minute taker, Marlis.
Do you want me to unmute or do you want to unmute?
I don't care, it doesn't matter to me.
You tell me.
I've got my... you can unmute, that's fine.
All right, got it.
It'll pick it up, right?
It should.
Okay. So first item on the agenda is minutes for correction or approval from our September 1st, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting. Do we have any questions, comments, concerns, deletions? No?
No.
No? Okay. Those will be accepted as presented. We'll move on to new business. PS 2022-24 monthly report review for August 2022 and September 2022.
Awesome. So I'll work through this because there's obviously seven different items on here. So I want to be respectful of your time. So the August monthly report, I'm going to skip right to the community policing initiatives. And if you have questions about anything before, just let me know. National Night Out was in August. We had a huge, huge turnout. Tim Evans and his crew did an outstanding job, you know, getting stuff organized and having staff there. And just the event they had was just, it was really nice, really nice. We also had Stop by Duncan for Special Olympics Illinois Cop on the rooftop. Actually, Yorkville is leading all Kendall County agencies with donations for Special Olympics Illinois, which is great. Our goal is to try to get on the back of the shirt this year. Looking through some of the other photos, you got different. Shopiyama stopped out and saw a couple kids, showed them the squad car, and then we're judging ribs and chili cook-offs. We have the swearing in of Officer Heiser in there as well. And then we also did a Battle of the Badge softball tournament with multiple agencies, Aurora, Police, St. Charles Police, Elgin Police, us. I think there was two other agencies. And Geneva Police, and I can't read one of the other ones. Might be West Chicago. So we just did an inside one. I think we were like second to last in that one for outdoor, but we did an indoor one recently at the Dome, and we took first in that against Aurora, St. Charles, Kendall, Yorkville. There were six teams. So, and then you'll see in August, we did a lot of safety posts for the school zones, just letting people know, hey, school's coming, slow down, rules of the road, stop arms for buses, that sort of thing. So I'm gonna skip over to then the training hours for the month of August. We had a total of 399.5 hours of training. Most of it is the online Let's Be Trained. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on and give you guys a handout of the different types of training that we have to have. And also I'll talk a little bit more about that. As far as traffic crashes go, we had 38 for the month of August, 47 and 126 Galena and Kennedy were the top two intersections. It's also the top two intersections for the month of September. We've been working and trying to work with IDOT. They're not going to change anything at the 126-47 intersection. There's still a berm there. People, what's happening is people are pulling up to turn right. They're stopping. Cars behind them are looking left as they're going right, not seeing the car in front, and they're hitting the back end. And so I think within the last 2 months, we had one personal injury crash. It was minor. I don't even know if there was an injury, but it was reported as an injury. So, and then kind of an odd thing for the day of the week, Monday had 10 for that month. I've gone back the last several monthly reports. Monday's never been the high. The time frame, though, is pretty consistent for August and September between 2 and 6 o'clock at night. Jumping over to the traffic enforcement, our majority of our time is still spent at 34, 47, and 71. You'll see 76, 68, and 64 stops in those areas. We're running a ton of traffic, and we're still getting just a ton of speeders on the roads. directed patrol details. Again, you'll see that we spent a total of 106 details for the month of August. 96 of the 106 were at 34-47-71, and of the 233, or just over 233 hours, we had 225 hours, 224 and some change on those roadways as well. Some of our portable speed sign results, Blackberry Shore and Gillespie, we've had some complaints of people speeding. We put the speed signs out there. The average speed is less than, I think we have one, Blackberry Shore, Gillespie, eastbound was 25.7. Everything else is 24.7, 24.8. That's the 85th percentile. So, and then the other areas you'll see Allendale and Fax and Sumac and Redbud. When we get complaints of certain things, we try to put that out there to get the data before we put people, because staff is money, before we put people there, we try to use the technology that we have to identify whether, in fact, we have a problem or if it's just the perception. Look at total citations. We had three from August of this year to, actually, we had three more from August of this year to August of last year. And written warnings, again, very close. We had a little bit more. We had seven. Investigations, we had some pretty good charges. We had a criminal sexual assault, two counts, and criminal sexual abuse. And we had a couple other sexual abuse cases. We also worked on the Major Crimes Task Force. Officer Goldsmith was accepted as an evidence custodian in the Major Crimes Task Force. So, jumping over to our crime reports, for our total reports, we were down 29 for our total reports section from August to August. And our part one crimes were even. We're averaging roughly 14 a month. If we continue to average 14 a month based on the total that we have so far for the month or for this year in 2022, we should be projected 168 as compared to 235 last year. So now you're going to see a reduction in that, but our overall calls for service, our total incidences are going up, which is just kind of weird, but we're going to follow it and see when we get to the end of the year, kind of track and see exactly where we're up. And then our part two crimes were down 24. Our average per month is 15. Based on the numbers we have, we're projected at 180. We're projected more than that. I think I wrote down that number. 280. Our mental health crisis calls for the month of August went down for our mental health calls, and our voluntary committals were down 19 from August of this time last year, I should say. And then you'll see our patrol arrests. They're pretty average. They're staying pretty consistent. Our overall calls for service, our incidences, we're averaging 1,171 per month, which is going to equate to just over 14,000. The last 2 years, you see, we were at 13,450 and 12,449. So when we get to the actual budget this year, you guys are going to see a increase in our KenCom because they base our fee off of incidents, and we're jumping up. And that's just unfortunately, that's kind of the way that it is. And then our squad car operations expenses, you don't see monthly mileage or the cost per mile in there. We had a squad versus bicycle crash that occurred, and that vehicle was in lockdown at a storage facility because we got certain papers that we had to maintain. So we couldn't drive the car, we couldn't do anything with the car, so they could send over out an insurance person, investigator, to come out and download the black box and get all the stuff. So I didn't want to touch the car, and then we worked with our city attorney. So in the month of September, we actually went back this last month and added that in there. It just, the handout you had, this was done beforehand. So
you have a spare squad they use it?
No. Well, yes. We just used another car. But that was one of the issues when we first got served. The car had been reused, and actually some of our officers, they had cleaned it up because we didn't have the notice to maintain it and preserve it. We took a bunch of photos and did all that. But then we got the notice that we had to maintain it, so we reached out to our attorneys. Steve DeNolfo is representing us, and he worked with their attorneys to have our person and their person get together and come in and do it. So the squad was down almost a month and a half. So That's it for August.
Thank you. Any questions for the chief?
No. All right, September. The overtime hours, 18 of the 58 hours, were reimbursable. We also had hometown days for our community policing. You guys, I saw most of you guys out there hometown days, so it was kind of a crazy month. You also see a couple posts for 988. 988 is a system that is going into place with KenCom. Actually, it's not with KenCom. It's through the state of Illinois, but instead of 911, it's 988. It's a mental health call. That is actually up and operating.
Do you think that's going to chip into the 911 calls and affect the amount have to be paid to KenCom?
Yes, but I don't think we're going to see much of a difference with it in the overall cost, only because what will happen is somebody will call 911 because they're having a crisis or whatever, they're having a situation, maybe. KenCom will then ask a few questions and they will transfer it straight to 988. So based on the total number of calls that we have, we may see a small reduction in that. But
if people start learning about 988, they might not be calling 911.
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping for. Yeah. And frankly, it's a total switch from how we operate in law enforcement. But I'm sitting back going, if we can get 70% of calls, mental health type calls that we don't respond to, it's 70% less chance that we get involved in a critical incident. Now, certain calls that, you know, where the person's violent or where after KenCom has done the question and answer phase on the line, they may decide to dispatch us, which means that we would have to respond. But that's the bad ones. So our training for the month of September, we had 574 hours. Crashes, we had 33. Again, 47, 126, 47, and Galena are the high ones. And the time frame stayed the same. And if you noticed, Monday, there was 4 as compared to 9 on Thursday, 7 on Friday. You know, it's just kind of all over the place on the days of the week with the crashes. So I focused again real quick on 34, 47, and 71. Those are our areas. We had 134 details. And you can see that we had 34, 126, 71, 40, 70, 89. We had over 115 that were of the 134 were at those three spots, 215 hours of the 233. The portable speed sign results, the McHugh Road and Van Emmon, those were both based on complaints that we continue to get. We have identified McHugh Road as a speeding problem. So right now it says to be determined on there for both Van Emmon and McHugh. We've identified, I think the average speed is like 36. So we do have a speeding issue. So we've been out on those roads a little bit more and we're not catching a whole lot of people. So just kind of, we'll continue to hit those areas pretty hard. Our traffic enforcement, you'll see we're down both in citations and written warnings. You know, we had more hours of holiday time used, but not that many more. Why we're down so much, I'm not quite sure. So we're going to obviously continue to follow that. And our detective squad, one of the investigations, they arrested a guy for stealing 191 gallons of diesel fuel. He was just pulling up and loading it and going. He'd do it to multi-jurisdictions.
Where?
It was south of town. Felony retail theft as a result of the investigation. So it would have been the 4,000 block of North Bridge.
The BP or diesel fuel?
Is that the offense?
Anybody? Yeah.
It's North Bridge, so it'd be
the north side of the river. So it would probably have to be, I don't think Shell and BP have diesel, so I wonder if it's Casey's.
Or the gas and go, or the gas and wash. Yeah.
The one you find on Waterworks.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's 191 gallons. That's a ton.
Yeah.
Sounds like this guy's done it at multiple places. So.
What's that?
How
does he get it?
Just pulls up. I don't know if he's got a false credit card or not.
Right.
We're kind of limited with what we put in there only because we could have court that they have to go to, and we don't want to, you know, we can't. There's certain information we just can't release. So.
But you called him?
Yeah, they charged him. Yeah. So going into the total reports under the crime reporting, we're 30 less total reports in September this year compared to last year. And then part one crimes, we had plus 10. The increase was in the thefts. That's the reason we had the increase, but we were minus 16 for part two crimes. So again, we're continuing to maintain that projected 180 and 264. Consistent calls with mental health crisis, we were pretty average, just, you know, from this time last year. Our calls for service jumped up again. Our monthly average jumped up to 1172. And so our projected total is 14064. So for the month, so we'll continue to monitor that. And then you can see the September squad gasoline expenses. So we are projected, you know, the way we're going right now, I think I've got about $35,000 left in my budget right now for gasoline based on what we projected our totals were going to be. We're going to be over by about $24,000, $25,000. I have the savings. I know we're going to be over, so we're not spending in other areas. We're not doing certain things just to make sure that, you know, I'm not in the red in the budget. So we've also had savings in salaries because the guy we hired, he was paid for 2 weeks and then he left. So savings and insurance, we have our savings from that account as well. So, and that's it.
Thank you. Any questions for Chief Jensen? No? Craig? Okay. And we'll move on to PS 22-25, August adjudication reports for August through October.
Yep. So I'm just going to go through them. A lot of the stuff is pretty simple, stuff that we see every month. If you have questions on anyone specific, let me know. On the 829, the three tickets that were dismissed were building and zoning tickets. On the 12th of September, we did have expired registration on Honeysuckle, 451 Honeysuckle. Well, that's not a ticket that we typically write, but you're going to see later on in the month or later on in this report. We've started to write some, but I will tell you the expiration on the plates are 2020 and 2021. So they're expired over a year or a year. It's not a ticket that we typically write, but... So let's see, jumping over to 10-10 of 22, you have two disorderly conducts. That was a fight at Hometown Days. That was the only issue we had at Hometown Days, two females going at it.
How did one get liable and one not liable?
One started it.
Oh, okay.
And one
finished it.
Kind of fought back. So families just didn't get along. And John Hunter and his team did a really nice job that night getting on it before it got really out of hand. And then you'll see at the bottom, expired registration. The first one expired in 21, second one expired in 20, the third one expired in 21. And then one of the kids on there, Kirk Richter, he was issued another one later on. He has yet gone out and fixed it, and he continues to park. And we've given him warnings, so... there's one expired registration on 1024, that was expired in 2020 as well. And then the last one, 1031, that was the Kirk Richter. He's issued a second one because he's refused to go out and get his stuff updated. So
it sooner or later it'll be cheaper to go get your registration.
Yeah.
You know, I think two tickets, $75 a pop, exceeds the...
And if you just go and get it, they'll dismiss it.
Yeah, right. Compliance.
And that's what they're doing with some of the registration tickets. You know, you'll find them. If they just bring in valid registration, they'll dismiss the ticket or ask for a continuance and come back in the next time and have it. And we'll dismiss the ticket. But, you know.
There's the hard way. Any questions about the adjudication reports? No? All right. We'll move on to PS 22-26. An ordinance amending Title V of the Yorkville City Code, Police Command.
So we promoted Garrett, and I had meant to update the city code or follow up. That didn't happen. So that's the reason this is happening. So Kathy went through and updated the actual ordinance with the language pursuant to statute. We added a police commander in there, and this is more of a, it didn't get done sooner. It should have, and it didn't. So. We're bringing it through now for you guys to hopefully approve and bring to the board.
Okay. Good. Any questions about that?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to PS 2022-27, training coordinator.
So this is more of a discussion item. So I wanted to pass this out to you guys. These are the training requirements. So when we go into our capital budget discussions this year, I'm going to be presenting doing a shared service training coordinator. I know you guys are very familiar with our shared services. It would operate the same way. Our goal would be, and I've met with the chief of Plano and the chief of Oswego, we are all in agreement that based on the standards that they're presenting with us here, that I let's be saying we have to do, it is crazy the amount of time and the money we are spending inside for this training course, or just to manage our training program. So what we're looking to do is we've started discussions with the two agencies to hire one person. It would be a third split. So based on the numbers that I'm coming up with, we right now spend roughly 494 hours annually just YPD between a deputy chief, a commander, and a sergeant. The sergeant and the commander, they're the ones that are kind of organizing the training, getting our training sites going, making sure we have instructors, making sure that the outlines, because in order for us to get credit for the training that we do, we have to submit outlines and resumes to the Illinois Training and Standards Board and our local MTU. We have to send it in separately, because ILETSB can approve it, but NEMR won't. And NEMR can approve it, and ILETSB won't. So we have to send it into both. So the management of that is just, the amount of hours is just crazy. So which equates to roughly $25,000 we spend in our staff time currently. So with the three-way split, we'd be looking to do a salary right around $60,000 with benefits. It would work out to be just over $32,000 per agency if you add in the PPO, family insurance. So we plan this on the high end of what we would be paying out. So, you know, the worst of this is what it would be. This person would be responsible for planning, organizing, preparing, coordinating, and documenting all department training. The tasks are the training schedule, scheduling not only facilities, but the actual instructors themselves, verifying they're certified instructors, and that they're verifying that we're meeting all of the ILETSB standards for training. So as you can imagine, just looking at this list here, annually we have to do all of the items that are bullet pointed there. What's not included in here is that we have to also have scenario-based training. We have to have 12 hours over a three-year period of time. So that scenario-based training is the difficult part, because in order for me to do a shoot, don't shoot type scenario, I have to send all that into ILETSB and NEMR for approval. It takes a month to get approval. So trying to work your training schedule depending on when you're going to get approval. And now once you have approval, which is great, that's awesome, but they're not making it easy for this. So I was going to be presenting to finance or to our capital budget meetings for that position. Nothing to do today. If you guys tell me today that you wouldn't be in support of that, then I'm not going to bring it forward to capital. Obviously, I know it wouldn't pass it anyway. You know, if you guys aren't in a favor of it, I understand that. But
do bigger departments have a person dedicated solely for coordinating training?
Yes.
Like the city of Aurora?
Yes.
Got one person that's all
they actually have more than one.
Okay.
Because they have so many people.
Right.
We looked at doing county. She's got between corrections and the deputy, she couldn't add three other departments on.
So the county has a dedicated training coordinator?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And what do they get paid? The same as what
she's, she's just under $60,000. She's just under. I would like to call her a poacher for the job, but I can't do that.
Why not?
Well, I guess I could, but Dwight would be really mad. I don't want to make him mad, you know. So, yeah, the salary is very, very close. The training coordinator, Aurora, while I don't know what that salary is, after having conversations with the chief over there, is worth its weight in gold. And they have multiple people that do it.
Okay.
Just because there's 200 some officers.
Montgomery didn't want to get in on this, Phil?
We didn't include Montgomery. We just, you know, I having four agencies, so right now between our 33, Oswego's 53, and Plano's 23. If I add Montgomery into it, we probably, you know,
another person.
Yeah, we almost need to. So it is something that is definitely needed. It is something that is definitely benefit. If we get the right person, depending on where their office would be, I've got room in the new PD, that's where I'm going to push to have it, in our facility. But the cool thing about doing a shared service with this is, so let's just say I train Dan Transier in first aid and CPR, but Plano doesn't have anybody certified, okay? We can use Dan as our instructor. They can help certify Oswego and Plano as well. Or I have CPR and medical training Tuesday, but you're gone on vacation, but Oswego's got it next week. It's the same curriculum, so I can send you to Oswego. Right now, the way we run training, if you're on vacation during a training day, you miss training.
Right.
And then we have to figure out how we're going to get you into that to make sure you get the certification and the hours that you need to have. So we're looking to do a lot of shared instructor, a lot of shared training time in different facilities based on when, if somebody's on vacation. Oswego could send three or four guys here, or 10 guys here, so could Plano, if we're having training the same day, because we're teaching the same curriculum. The other thing we've started to do within this last year is we're doing common policies. So some of our high liability policies, domestic violence, response to resistance, pursuit, we're conjoining, I should say, or adjoining, whatever, our policies so that Oswego is the same as Yorkville. Yorkville's the same as Plano. Plano's pursuit policy is different, but we all share some of the common high liability, because Plano will be responding to a domestic call in Yorkville sometimes with us. Mm-hmm. I need to know that they're going to do the same thing that we are going to do, right? So that's why we've started doing some of that. This can help with that as well.
And you'll have the money for it?
What's that?
You'll have the money, 33 grand or whatever, or 20 grand?
Yes, obviously, if it's approved in capital. Do I understand there are other needs? Yeah, I do. I get it. So, you know, if in a perfect world, if I had my say-so, the two shared services that we're not going to have, that's where I get the money from. But I also know this only helps the police department. I know there's administration, Christy, and Eric, and I want to be cognizant of that, too. So I'm going to present it and see what they have, unless I hear different from you guys.
I don't know.
Makes sense.
If it frees up you guys to...
It will definitely help us, but yeah.
So this person is just coordinating the training. They're not actually giving the training.
No. So we would, so as an example, we have Robbie Hart, who was trained to do defensive tactics, ground fighting. We've sent him to... $5,000 worth of training. He is the instructor. He'll be the one that will come up with the outline. This person here would take that outline, making sure it's in the proper format, take his resume, submit it to iLetsby and NEMERT, get him certified. Then they would take that training, schedule it. So they would come up with, we are right now working on our entire training schedule for 2023. We've been working on that now for almost a month, and we'll continue to work on it until it's all finalized. So we are actually scheduling the training topics per month that we're doing, the times, where it's going to be at, who's going to be instructing, which at that in and of itself is just, it's a huge project. So this person will be doing that, gathering the materials, getting them certified, and then setting up the training, and then tracking it. And we got to log into the state, enter everybody's training stuff in there. It's just crazy.
I was just curious, because what we do with Fox is we actually have sent people down to Springfield to get training for being instructors. Mm-hmm. And then Fox Metro opens up the training to other municipalities, which they'd have to pay, which reimbursed
yes.
the money they put out for getting us, our guys certified, to be instructors.
Yes.
I'm just curious if that's kind of how that...
It will be, yes, we do that, but not with this position, so to speak. They're not going to have time to be training. If we find that they do have time, oh, heck yeah, I'll do it. Because this probably needs to be somebody with previous law enforcement experience that understands what it is we do and understands the training component of things. So.
Cool.
Yeah,
go ahead. Any questions?
Okay, if I bring it to... Okay, awesome.
Whether or not you can sell it to them is a different question.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, everybody's got needs, so I understand that. So.
I guess we'll move on to PS 2022-28, the sale or destruction of surplus equipment.
So we budgeted for 3 vehicles this year. I'm only going to purchase 2 vehicles. There's a couple vehicles that are probably on the verge of being ready to get, you know, get rid of, but... if they're on the verge, that means we're going to use them for another year. The 2 vehicles we are looking to get rid of, the first one is M1. It's only got 70,865 miles on it. It's a 2016 Chevy, but while we were getting it serviced, we were having issues with the electrical components and the battery. They found that it was rusting on the right front frame rail. So we had Jovic inspect it, and then we took it to CarStar to see, what did you guys see, and can it be fixed? And they're recommending absolutely not. So that was going to be one of the vehicles we were going to actually have removed from our fleet anyway. And then a squad M22 is a 2014 Chevy Caprice. Right now we have current multiple issues with it. It's got 91.5. It's actually got, when this was written, it's probably got closer to 95,000 miles on it now. So it's a vehicle that meets our criteria to be eliminated. The value of this vehicle, what we're finding, the last time we sold a Caprice, we got almost $9,000 to $10,000 for the motor. They're looking for the motor on it. So we've reached out to AutoSmart out of Oswego. AutoSmart will be the one getting rid of both of these vehicles. He's already come out and looked at them. The one, the M1, we're not going to get much for that, probably $600. They will do all the paperwork that will talk about the destruction of the vehicle, the title, and all that. However, he has told me that M22, we could probably get $9,000 to $10,000 still out of that. So what we do is we take all that money, we put that back into our squad fund. So so I'd be looking to permission from you guys to have these sold.
Yeah, let's make sure that M1 doesn't end up being driven somewhere.
You know, absolutely agree with you.
Because if that thing's rusted out and there are safety issues in regards to the frame, the last thing we need is it being driven and then someone getting hurt. So
that one totally agree.
Probably junked. But even if
we don't drive it at all. We don't even take it to the high school.
Yeah.
Just because somebody, it would not be safe in a crash.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's fine. You guys agree?
Yeah. You're looking at Ford Explorers again?
Yeah, we've had some very, very good luck with the Ford Explorers. Our guys like them. They look sharp. Dodge has a vehicle that you can put out. It goes way too fast, and I don't need a Charger. I don't want a Charger. So these SUVs, they're all-wheel drive. They handle really well in snow, and they're nice. They're just nice cars.
That's the next topic, right?
Next topic. So, what...
go ahead.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
It's PS 2022-29.
Yep.
Resolution authorizing the purchase of 2 new police interceptor SUVs?
Yes. Sorry. So...
Oh, no.
That's mouthful. We normally come to you guys about January. After talking with Oswego, they ordered 5 vehicles. They're not getting them. Reaching out to Richie down at Morrow Brothers, who's the guy we've been working with, he's heard they're not even going to make 2023 vehicles. Now, when I was at the International Chiefs Conference, Ford was there. I asked that question. She said, no, that's not happening. We are making them. I'm like, all right, that's good. Richie has already placed his order for this next year, and they're going quick because there were several orders from Curry Motors that didn't get filled. So he said, if you're on the list, you're going to have vehicles when they come in. When they come in, it's anybody's guess. So I worked it out with Richie that what I'm coming to you guys for is it okay to order the vehicles up now even though they have not been approved in the FY24 budget. If I wait, I won't have vehicles for next year. The good thing is I can get on the list today as an example, and if for whatever reason it's not approved in FY24 budget, I can cancel and there's no fee. So there's no loss to the city. So what I'd like to do is get two vehicles ordered, their budget here. Initially, we were budgeting for three. I don't need three. If they budget for three and just keep money and they're kind of like the escrow type thing, I'm all for that because that'll save us for later. But I'd really like to get these vehicles ordered, just knowing it's probably going to be end of next year before we get them.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So, I agree. Okay with that?
Yeah, get in line. Okay. Because if you wait till March,
yeah.
If you do place the order, is the price locked in, or is it going to be one of these every 3 months you're going
to
raise?
So, I would love to tell you that it's going to be locked. I will say this, that Richie has maintained the cost of vehicles for 3 years, even this last year. Now, the price for these vehicles are 70. If they go, they jump from 67 or 68 to 71, there was a 9% increase in vehicles this year. And there was also an increase in equipment. Based on some of the equipment we're going to take from the old squad to the new, we're roughly looking for $71,000 per vehicle. We can save some money with the equipment, and we're using the equipment. We also have them do the install there at Morrow Brothers, so that saved us a little bit of money. We are told these prices are locked. Now, could they come back changing?
Sure.
Yeah. So.
No, good. Yeah. You don't object to it?
No.
Put the orders in?
No. Makes sense.
Perfect.
Thank you. That's huge.
Then we'll move lastly on to PS 2022-30, the meeting schedule for 2023.
Yeah. So the dates are listed on there every other month at 6 p.m. You guys tell me what your flavor is. You know, you want to meet at 6, 7, 5, you want to meet every month, I'll do whatever you guys want. So you tell me what you're looking for.
I agree with the same.
I am as well.
Yeah.
Every other month, first Thursday at 6.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys are good with the dates on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good to know in advance.
Awesome. So I believe all of these items, all of the items that we've talked about today are on the agenda for next Tuesday's meeting. Or, yeah, the next meeting after that. So,
22nd.
Yeah, there'll be some voting stuff, so you're going to have four items.
Okay.
Yeah, the ordinance, training coordinator, so it's the ordinance, sale and destruction resolution, the meeting schedule.
Yep.
So.
Good. Do we have any old business?
I have not.
Do we have any additional business?
Also not.
No? Chief?
No?
No. I believe we can adjourn the meeting at 6:38. Right? Okay.
Awesome. I do have a question off the record.